Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's have a word of prayer as we move into our Sunday morning worship on the Memorial Day weekend. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the various outreaches you have given to us to disseminate the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. We thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we can go through and study and understand the Word of God. Pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have a lot that we want to do this morning, and we're going to sing a song in a few moments, but let's just take care of the family issues that need to be taken care of, first of all, this morning. And one of those, of course, is prayer. And we want to begin our understanding and our dealing with prayer with some of the things that God is doing here. And the great miracle of our assembly, and not that there aren't others, but Thomas. And Thomas, how are you feeling this morning, young man? What'd you say? Fine. Oh, I like good. Now, is fine different than good? It's better. Fine is better than good. Very good. All right. Very good. Okay. All right. Okay. No. Okay. Doing fine, but not real. Okay. Well, we're in constant prayer, Thomas and Terry. What's going on? Good. Okay. Very good. The Sunshine Kids Organization. Go ahead. Wow. Wow. Well, Thomas, I think your spiritual advisor needs to go along with you and kind of help you. And wow, that is wonderful, Thomas. Hey, we have our priorities. Absolutely. What a wonderful opportunity. Wonderful opportunity, not only to see New York, but to witness and to be encouraged and encourage. That is super. Well, Thomas, that's great. We'll be in prayer about that. My goodness. Very good. You'll be a nervous wreck. Oh, okay. That's right. Good. Good. We won't miss you at all, Thomas. Yes, we will, young man. Yes, we will. And another miracle. Tish, how are you doing? Good. Very good. Okay. And let's see. Judith's mother, and we've been in prayer for her, is had the successful surgery, and that was Monday, or was that last Monday? Monday week ago, so I told you all about that. And now she's in rehab, and she has her good days and bad days, and good time and bad time, and so just be in prayer for Christine. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. So do you want a bodyguard? Is that what you're asking for?
And these people that And there's a passage in the Old Testament that speaks a little bit of the Lord or something, so I asked God to give me some words to put in an email. And it's kind of troubling. And then all of a sudden I got an email from my customer. We got more time than I thought. Don't call anybody on off vacation.
Oh, wow.
Don't make them work this weekend.
Very good. Wow. Wow. You just got off the hook. I don't know. God just got you off the hook. I don't know. Oh, that's good. Any other... how's Julie doing in Greece? Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah.
I guess they hear on the news that, at least the news here, that it's looking like the Greeks will go off the euro. We'll just have to wait and see what happens in the election.
Did you tell her where I said she ought to be going and visiting every day?
No.
Well, what's the... the olive oil, the vine, and bread and cheese, and... No, those people, they really, people that deal professionally in wine are just, they're happy. They don't care about the angelic conflict. They don't care about the Lord. They don't care about politics. They don't care about anything. It's just, is this good? Is this good today? Is this vintage good? So, those are the kind of people in bad times you want to hang around. And, okay, yes. How old of a lady is she?
Probably about maybe 10 or 15.
Okay. All right. Wow. We'll be in prayer for her family. Yeah. I had a long, long time, very close friend, Ken Mahan, is a lawyer. And Ken was in Houston and was just stood up, walked up to the judge's bench, and just, they said he was gone before he hit the floor. That quickly. Aneurysms are, I guess if you're 80, that's a good, 90, that's a good way to go. But you know, when you're not, it's a, so we'll be in prayer for her family. And she married and children and all that.
She's got a daughter and a mother that she lives close to. She was closest to her sister.
Okay. Okay. Okay, people, we need to be in prayer. For one another, we're in a spiritual warfare. We need to be in prayer for our young people. Getting ready for camp now. School's closing down. And the kids are now assessing their 2 months of getting ready for camp. So we need to be in prayer. And I really enjoyed last week when Larry shared with us one of the stories. And after class, he shared one with me. And you were telling me, after standing back here, about another mother that, can you share that with us?
Sure.
I just want them to know what's going on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday night. That's beautiful. And we'll be in prayer for her as well as the others. And I've added to my prayer list not just the young people now, but the parents. Seems to be an outreach. Wow. I had not been in prayer for the parents, but shame on me. That's good. Yeah. That's so, that's super. Absolutely.
They're looking for something she specifically said to me when I met her, which they, well, we are Christians, because they appear to be perhaps from another origin, or I don't know. Very blatantly, because we are Christians.
Wow. That's good.
So, yeah, be in prayer for Phoebe and Al.
Absolutely. That's very good. Thank you. Please join in that prayer.
Let me know if you want a reservation. We have a few more spots left, but you will get to see, feel, and hear what's going on just by having some faces.
Beautiful. That's super. Please be in prayer. Please help and join in financially, prayer, supportive, and things like this. It's just a wonderful outreach that doesn't directly affect the mechanism right here, but it's an outreach that God has given to us, and I think it's absolutely phenomenal what God is doing in both of the classes. And so thank you. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth to send his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. People, we live in Satan's world. The gospel, we're looking at in the First Corinthians, things freely given, and they are freely given. And this morning in Romans chapter 5, we'll see the free gift. And everything that's from God is definitely free. But we live in Satan's world. And to get the message out with the young people right here, the internet, all this, we have the opportunity, the privilege. It's not a burden. It's an opportunity and a privilege to decide, okay, I have this amount of money. I have this amount to be able to give. And where do I need to give it? The spreading of the gospel. It's very powerful stuff. There are just so many. There are so many worthy causes today that we all could do with our money, and I know that. I mean, just the children's cancer. That's worthy, and I'm not putting it on that same level. But I'm taking care of sheltered animals. I think that's worthy. Taking care of so many different things are so worthy, but people. Each of us have only, you know, a dollar. And how are we going to divide that up? That's what's important. That's where we go to the leading of the Holy Spirit to guide us in using of our time, our money, our life. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, it is only appropriate this morning as we enjoy and worship in this offertory that we are reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved, that we can do this. The political, economic freedom that we still enjoy in America, set apart from so many places on this earth, Father, is America, and the political, economic structure, where the people take home a certain amount of profit, of money, to do with it, to spend as they see fit, Father. We're so appreciative of the freedom that we do enjoy in this country. And Father, this morning we are especially thankful for the men and women who have served providing us this freedom, served securing it from the founding fathers to this very hour where many are in harm's way right now. It's not a matter of whether the battles are right or wrong, it's a matter that our military personnel are there. And Father, we're so thankful for their sacrifice, for the devotion, for the time of their life they spend in the military. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For as it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. Whom to marry, where to live, what to do with our time, what to do with our money, where to go to church and why. So many questions that we have to answer each day. Choices. Life is filled with choices. And we have so many in America. And we're so thankful for the light of Christ and the light of your word to guide us in the proper choices that we ought to make. So, Father, we thank you for your use of this humble assembly in so many different ways. The internet, the assembly right here, young people, missionaries, so many different ways, Father. We thank you. And we pray now, Father, that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you'll continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of June, and that's Communion Sunday. So please remember that next Sunday. And the theme is picnic. So just bring whatever you have left over, and sandwiches, deviled eggs, whatever. And you can leave the ants at home. You don't need to bring them. I think, and I'm not sure, but I think when I was a little boy, I think I thought that ants came out of food that sat. Because it just seemed like in the house, you let fit, there's ants. On a picnic, always ants. There's the food, there's the sandwiches, there's ants. And it's just everywhere. So leave the ants at home for next Sunday's communion, and we'll have communion, and then we'll have fellowship time together. Okay, this is Memorial Weekend, and one of the most important things about a nation is, well, first of all, the rise and fall of nations, it's just so wonderful that our God is in control. All through history, there have been wars, nations rise, nations fall. In dealing with, looking at the notes for our study in Daniel, it's just so interesting how much is involved in getting Daniel to Babylon. It's just, I had to smile, just all that had to happen. You have the Assyrian Empire of the city-state of Nineveh, just all-powerful, and they're going to fall to Babylon. You have the Mede Empire, you have the Egyptian Empire, Babylon coming up into power, all, and there's wars. And main wars have been Carchemish, and we'll know where that is and all. And then you just take history. Take all the history of Europe, the history of the world. There have just been wars, and rise of nations, fall of nations. And no nation has any kind of guarantee. America certainly doesn't. Has no guarantee whatsoever. And I'm wondering if we haven't played our part in getting the gospel all over the world. No nation has done that like America. No nation has taken its money and gotten the gospel to people. Didn't even have their language in writing. And we would send people in missionary activities. Would send people in and develop them a vocabulary, develop them a words, and then gave them the Bible in their language that we helped them develop. That's just astounding. The nation of America spreading the gospel virtually to every place on the planet Earth. We have gotten the gospel out. And now America's changing. It's going into the darkness. And so it's not really even so much, I don't believe, who is the president. And I'll tell you why. Because the way our system is set up here, that he or she can only do damage for 8 years at the most. Now, what's really important is the mentality of the people that put a person in office. That's the problem. There's your problem. The thinking in America. And we all know that America was founded by men who believed the Bible, believed in Jesus Christ. People, we're talking some 92% professed Christians, signers of our Constitution. That's astounding. And even the other 7%, paid honor to this book, to the church, and to God. I don't know if Benjamin Franklin were a believer in Jesus Christ. I just know that he headed up a Bible Society in Washington, D.C. So these are the kinds of people. But we don't have that today. We have a president that actually says this is not a Christian nation anymore. Understanding this book, your view of this book, people, divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible, plenary, the complete Word of God, is so crucial. It's so crucial. Your belief in the first three chapters of this book are crucial. God is the creator of man, not evolution. And all these things that you and I almost take for granted, people, don't ever take it for granted. It is crucial, our understanding and our belief in this book. And I want to have just to spend a moment in getting ready, and for not getting ready, but as part of a acknowledgement of Memorial Weekend, I want to play for you a segment someone sent me in dealing with one of our more recent presidents and his attitude and how far we have gone from his time. So let's see if I can get this going here. Push this second one. Okay. One more time. Now do this. Okay.
Someone asked me whether I was aware of all the people out there who were praying for the president. And I had to say, yes, I am. I felt that I believe in intercessionary prayer. But I couldn't help but say to that questioner after that sometimes when he was praying, he got a busy signal. It was just me in there ahead of him. I think I understand how Abraham Lincoln felt when he said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Now I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the Founding Fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values,
it was written to protect those values from government tyranny. I've said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. I think the real question we must answer is, are we on His side? No matter where we live, we have a promise that can make all the difference. A promise from Jesus to soothe our sorrows, heal our hearts, and drive away our fears. He promised there will never be a dark night that does not end. Our weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He promised if our hearts are true, His love will be as sure as sunlight. And by dying for us, Jesus showed how far our love should be ready to go. All the way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all thank you. Americans yearn to explore life's deepest truths. And to say their entertainment, and their idea of entertainment, is sex and violence and crime, is an insult to their goodness and intelligence. We are people who believe love can triumph over hate, creativity over destruction, and hope over despair. And that's why so many millions hunger for God's good news. I've always believed that each of us put here for a reason, that there is a plan, somehow a divine plan for all of us. I know now that whatever days are left to me belong to Him. I also believe this blessed land was set apart in a very special way. Our forebears came not for gold, but mainly in search of God and the freedom to worship in their own way. We've been a free people living under the law with faith in our Maker and in our future. I've said before that the most sublime picture in American history is of George Washington on his knees in the snow at Valley Forge. That image personifies a people who know that it's not enough to depend on our own courage and goodness. We must also seek help from God, our Father and Preserver. We'll never find every answer, solve every problem, or heal every wound, but we can do a lot if we walk together down that one path that we know provides real hope. The morality and values such faith implies are deeply embedded in our national character. Our country embraces those principles by design, and we abandon them at our peril. My experience in this office I hold has only deepened a belief I've held for many years. Within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we only read and believe.
Goodbye.
But we don't have a president like that any longer. And it's come down to people. We have to make up our own mind individually where we stand. We're not here to change the world. We're not here to correct the world. We're not here to clean up the world. We're here to make known the name of Jesus Christ. Paul walked amongst temples in Corinth, Ephesus, everywhere he went, Athens. We have temples all over America now. Muslim temples, Mormon temples. We have our temples, idolatrous temples. They're idols. They're idolatrous. We can't worry about it. He didn't. He didn't take a bucket of water and try to go in and clean them up. Just let it go. We're here to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. That's all Paul said in Corinth. I would have you know Christ and Him crucified. That's it. That's our message. We have to make up our own individual minds, our moral structure, our family structure and belief. As we all know, America's changed now as far as the structure of the family. They have now made it legal, which means it goes into the financial issues, the moral issues. It's not a problem. You have to make up your own individual mind, morally, family, structurally, all these things. And we live it individually, privately. I think it's very interesting. Look at Galatians chapter 5 a moment. I'm going to show you something, a very interesting phrase. And why it's there. We can appreciate it more today. Look at verse 22 of chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now look at the next phrase. Against such things, there is no law. People, we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not break the law. It's up to us individually. Each individual deciding for himself. You're going to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, give in step with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. It's not about changing America. And I think they're going to get worse. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But if they do, so what? We've been kind of holding on that history is the way it's been in America for 200 years. No. America was a nation under glass to spread the gospel. We may have served our purpose. So what we have to do as individuals, make up our mind why we're here, why I occupy a space on earth at this time in history in regard to my life, my morals, my family, my gospel, my life. That's it. I'm not here to clean up and straighten up anybody. If you understand these things, you can drive by, and I'm sure Paul did, walk by these temples and let him pay attention. I used to get worked up to drive my grandchildren to school two mornings a week. I have to pass this mosque, Muslim mosque. And when it first started being built, it just, but after realizing Paul passed them, he passed these idolatrous temples. And he didn't get all upset. Just was there for one reason. Christ crucified. That's what we're here for. Pass this down to our children. We have a baton. That baton is the gospel. We have been secured with the freedom in this country. How long we have this freedom, I don't know. They're cutting the military way down. A lot is happening militarily around the world, in the Middle East, in Europe. I don't know how long we're going to have this freedom. But as long as we have it, we have the freedom to come to Bible class, study this book, walk in the power of this word through His Spirit, and let Christ be known. Make His name known. In the Lord's Prayer, John 17, four times He said, I have made your name known. I have made you known, your name known. They know you. That's what we're here for. I'm not here to go bomb that mosque. Close it down, march in front of it. I'm here to let people know about Jesus Christ. What the world does is its problem. That's what we're here for. We're here to live our own life, structured in the family as we understand it. God made them male and female. He didn't make male, male, female, female. He made male, female. It's very clear in the Bible. Do I have to make the world understand this? No. Just this is what I have to believe for myself, what I'm going to believe, what I'm going to pass on to my children. And if they reject that God is the creator of all things, nothing I can do about that. I'm not here to make them believe it. I'm here to make his word known, make his name known. It's what you and I are here for. To grow in the knowledge, as Peter says, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior. That's what we're here for. To live our life. The example of glorifying Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We're soldiers, people. We're the veterans. This is Memorial Day weekend. I hope tomorrow you'll think about the men and women who served in our nation's history. Not just your relatives, if you've had those, but just men and women we don't even know. Don't even know them. BC had a great cartoon this morning in this morning's paper. Talked about the debt. The King Ed, he talked about a debt. And at the end he said, a debt to people we don't even know their names. The men and women who served in our country. So, the people, the main thing is, you and I are soldiers. And we just have a small portion of our life on the battlefield. And then we're promoted home. We get to go home. What are you going to do with that short of time? So, Brian, let's sing. Thank you. You'll open the sword of the word to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The thing that I enjoyed and reaped the most out of the various segments of Ronald Reagan's was this book as the answer to every problem. That's remarkable. I know preachers that don't believe that. You got to go to human psychology. Got to go to human therapy. Human this, human that. People, it's what you think about this book. Does it have the solutions to all the problems in life? I believe it does. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And Heavenly Father, we do believe that this book has all the answers to life. We don't need any other book but this. Now we do need your spirit to open our eyes to the truthfulness of the message, to guide us in our understanding of it. But your book, this Bible, has everything we need to know for time and eternity. Pray now, Father, that your spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come, Jesus Christ. Now we're dealing with the phrase, even so, or even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. Let's see if we can see how this flows now. Death reigned over those, this is a reference to everyone from Adam to Moses, who had not sinned. Okay, death reigned over all those from Adam to Moses who had not sinned. Now, this is an aorist active participle of the verb amartano, and it means to sin. It means to miss the mark of God's righteousness. It means a failure to conform to the truth of God, to go wrong. Based on the fact that there is absolute truth, there is absolute righteousness. There is right and wrong. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, that all sin begins in the mind. Your mind is the battlefield of the spiritual warfare. We know from Titus chapter 3, verse 11, that when we sin, we condemn ourselves. Now, there's something that I want to try to point out to you, if I can, make this clear to you, the drama that's going on in the Greek here. And try not to get too involved in it, but this is really powerful stuff. Let's see if I can communicate it. I said that the not sinned, had not sinned, the negative out, but had sinned plus a negative, is an aorist participle. Now, what I want to try to explain to you is the action of the aorist participle comes before the action of the main verb. Now, what is the main verb here? Death reigned over them. So, over here we have death reigns over them. Something happened before that, and what happened before that was they did not sin in the likeness of Adam. So, we have the verb, but it's with a negative. See, death reigned, we would expect death reigned, they sinned first, death reigned. Paul is saying just the opposite. Death reigned, and they haven't sinned in the same way that Adam did. Now, is that clear what's going on in the structure? Because this is very important as to what's happening. See? They did not sin before death reigned over them. And death did reign over them. Now, let's look at the phrase, in the likeness of Adam. What does that mean? How was Adam's sin different? This is in the preposition epi or in, and it means, actually you'll understand this word in the likeness. This is the Greek word oimoma, and it comes from homo. H-O-M-O, homo, means the same. Homo sapien, human being, mankind, homogeneous. Homosexual, likeness. So that's what the word we have here. So they did not sin in the likeness in the same way that Adam sinned. Okay? Now, it says Adam's offense. It says the way that Adam offended, in the likeness of the offense of Adam. Now, this word is parabasis. Parabasis. Grasping this word is key to understanding what Paul is saying here. The word is translated transgression, wrongdoing. This word carries with it the idea of deviating from an established boundary. That's what's going on. An established law. But wait! There was no law, was there? From Adam to Moses, there was no law. And that's the whole point here. That's the whole point. I'm going to get it to you, but just to kind of help you what I'm going to be saying, is that from Adam to Moses, they did not sin. From Adam to the giving of the law, people sinned and death reigned over them, but they didn't sin in the likeness of Adam. Why? What was Adam? Adam had a what? A law. Do not eat. Do not eat. He had a law. But until the law is given, they don't sin in that same way. They sin. Death rules over them. But they didn't sin in the same way that Adam did. And that's the whole point of spiritual death here. So the best way I can do this is just walk through with you on a few points here. So to help us, the points are just to organize our thoughts. So point one, Adam had a direct mandate from God. Adam had a direct mandate from God. Moses' law gives a direct mandate from God. So we go from Adam to Moses to get another one. But under point one, Adam had a direct mandate from God. Genesis, let me just read it to you. You know it. Genesis 2:16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, dying you shall die. Now, just on the side, I think it is just phenomenal. The first blessing that God gave man, eat. Just eat. Eat and eat and eat and eat. But you know what? I wouldn't be different than Adam. I like to eat things that I shouldn't. Do not eat of this. Do not eat a half a gallon of Bluebell ice cream. Do not do that. See? We like to eat what we shouldn't eat. I know some of you are so self-righteous you wouldn't dare. I'm just so happy for you. You're just so wonderful. But a lot of us don't eat that. That's what I want to eat. That's the good stuff. That's where it really is. Put a lot of guacamole salad on it. Put lots of sauce on it. Put lots of this on it. And somewhere in there is a chip. See? But I love this. Eat, eat. It's the first place. Had nothing to do with sex. Had nothing to do with stealing. It had to do with just eat, enjoy eating. Enjoy eating. Oh, that's a wonderful blessing from God. And what do we do next Sunday? Communion. What's that? Eating together. The whole Lord's table. Eating. What are we going to do in eternity? Eat. I think God's a wonderful God. I really do. I think the resurrected body is a wonderful idea. We can eat and eat and eat and eat and not get fat. See? No more sorrow. No more mirrors. No more tears. See? I just threw that in. But what I want you to see here is there is a law. There's a command. Do not eat. So he has the command given to him. Now, point two. Adam willfully violated the word of God, the law of God, the command of God. The law clearly expressed God's desire that Adam not eat. And Adam knew this. He made a conscious decision to violate it. He made a conscious decision. Point three. The two things happened to Adam and Eve. Two things happened to Adam and Eve when they ate. First, they experienced spiritual death immediately, separated from fellowship with God. Then secondly, they experienced later on physical death. Spiritual death the moment they sinned, physical death later. Physical death, result of violating this mandate. Point four. Now, from Adam to Moses, the giving of the law, there's no law. There's no law. Do you realize, this is interesting, do you realize there was no law for Cain not to murder Abel? There was no law. Was it a sin? Absolutely. And we'll talk about that. But I just want you to see, there was no law. There was no law between Adam to Moses. No Mosaic law. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder. All these type of things. Went to a wedding yesterday afternoon, and sitting at the reception with this older couple. They were in their early 80s, and just had a wonderful time talking with them. And the man started feeling more and more relaxed with me. When he first started, I was a preacher, but we talked and we talked, and we started talking about, well, what do you think of our president? What do you think of this? And so we were very much like-minded. And he said, well, leans over, I want to tell you something. Said, I know the Bible says you're not to kill, but I've got a lot of weapons. And I said, whoa, wait, right there, Bible doesn't say thou shalt not kill. Bible says the Hebrew word is thou shalt not murder. And I mean, he looked at his wife, did you hear that? Said, thou shalt not murder. And he looked at me and said, that's different. And I said, yes, that's different. That's very different. And we just had a wonderful, wonderful time talking. But what I want you to see under point four is that from Adam to Moses, going by our passage here, there's no law given. So man knew not to murder, and I'll show you that. But murder is a sin. Man knew that he shouldn't do it. Now, you might have a better understanding with that in mind. I'm going to handle that problem right now. With that in mind, look at Romans 2. With coming from where we are right now, you might appreciate what is said in Romans 2 a little better now. Romans 2, verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. For all who have sinned without the law, okay, no law, but they sinned, will also perish without the law. Okay? And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by that law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who did not have the law, do instinctively, what does that tell you? That tells you God, man is a creation of God. Not an evolutionary animal, but a creation of God. Do instinctively the things of the law. These, not having the law, are a law to themselves. So Cain, while not having a law, he knew. God made us this way. We know. That also is in Romans chapter 1, verse 15. In that they show the work of the law, written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternating accusing or defending themselves. Let's go back to Romans 5 now. But what I want you to see is God created mankind. And part of our creation is the knowing that there is a God, Romans chapter 1, and also knowing some basic understanding of right and wrong. This is not by evolutionary process. God is not something that man conjured up. God built this inside of all living creatures. And he put inside these living things, these things that we should and shouldn't do. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Maybe it'll make Romans 1, 2, 3 kind of come more alive to you now with this understanding of the period between Adam and the law. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. The created being of God, God created with this evident in them. For God made it evident in them, people. In history class, in seminary, but in history class, even in secular school, you study Hammurabi's law. You study various laws of secular, not Christian, laws and things. And you find no murder, no this, no adultery, no homosexuality. These things are written in man's laws, people. Not Christian, necessarily. Just man's law through history. That these things are bad, wrong, alienation from our who and what we are. Okay? Let's go to verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident in them when He created them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, here's the problem now, they made a conscious decision not to honor Him as God. Give thanks that He has revealed Himself and created them. But they became futile in their speculations. They abandoned the truth. They got to come up with something to fill the vacuum. So it's their speculations. And their foolish heart was darkened. What is that? Darkened to the truth. Professing, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And we're seeing that in America today. It's so obvious. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God, what did He do? Gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. So what we're seeing here is what's going on in your mind affects your body. This is why the Holy Spirit, we're seeing in our 1 Corinthians study, the power of the Holy Spirit affects your trichotomous nature. Body, soul, and spirit. All three are affected by the Holy Spirit when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, even your body. Because the body is affected. And people say, well, promiscuity, homosexuality, doesn't affect it. People, it affects the soul. There's a direct relationship between the body and the soul. It's no surprise America's in the moral condition it's in. When we just not only allow, but we condone and we advance, and now we recognize immorality. It's going to affect the soul. It's going to affect people. You're not going to get away with it. It's going to affect. We know that drugs affect. We know that the drug of a pregnant mother affects the fetus and the offspring. People, decisions that we make in life affect the body. And there's no way we can get away from it. Let's just continue reading a little bit. Verse 22, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals, crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. And people, I want to tell you, that's one of the most dangerous things that God can do to us. When God just stands back, He does this to believers too. Just stands back, okay, you go. You go at it. See how far it gets you. I like it when God keeps a very sharp chain on my neck. I prefer that. But sometimes God just says, okay, I'm going to give you some more chain. Give you some more rope. Let you see where you go. And then I'll yank it. But this is a very dangerous thing here, what God did. God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. People, when you don't believe the truth, you'll believe the lie. And worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Serve the earth rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts, and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. two primary things that have happened in American history in our day and time. One is the fault of the pulpit. That's my number one. The pulpit has failed America. But two, Satan has taken down this gospel-giving country through the judicial system, through the legal system, not through the communists bringing their tanks in and rolling up and down the street bombing. No, it's been through the judicial system. And I've always impressed with you, the judicial system. Well, things like the body. Okay, the Bible says it's wrong, but this is a decision. We've got to protect the rights of people and all of this type of thing. Well, hey, wait a minute. Let's just talk about children, bestiality. I was going, what about the rights to do all these things? People don't tell you these things are coming. These things are coming. New York has just passed a law that it is not against the law to watch child pornography, because watching it is not possessing it. No mention of the victim of the children. Nothing. Just, oh, you have the right to do that. Being wise, they became fools. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But you know what? We can't get worked up about it. You and I have the understanding of what's going on. We know what God is doing. We know who's in control of the rise and fall of nations. We know that Jesus is going to return to this earth soon. We know the conditions of the world have to be in a certain order. We understand all these things. Let there be peace in your soul, people. There is only one issue. It's not homosexuality. It's not bestiality. It's not all that's going on. It's Christ and Him crucified. That's the only issue, as far as you and I are concerned. That's it. Now, for ourselves, our children, passing on the truth of Scripture, yes. But as far as our society, don't get all upset. What we're seeing is just a result of abandoning the truth. They rejected the truth. They accepted the lie. You just read it in Romans. And when you accept the lie, these are the things that are going to happen. The Word of God is alive and powerful. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them over to the degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural functions for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, it's America, God gave them over to a depraved mind. There's the battle, the mind. To do the things which are not proper. Being filled with an unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice. Sounds like snap, doesn't it, kid? Right? Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, ooh, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same thing, but also give heartily approval, that's our judicial system and our leaders, to those who practice them. Okay, point five. So, point four was, from Adam to Moses, giving of the law, there is no law given, but man knew right and wrong. All right, point five. So Adam had a clear, point five, Adam had a clear, direct mandate from God, a law from God. He understood it and he violated it and was hostile toward God. Point six. But from Adam to Moses, there was no law given. Until the Mosaic law, there was no law given. And now point seven. Yet, in this same time frame, there was no law from Adam to Moses. Two things existed. Sin and death. Without the law, there was sin and death. From Adam to Moses, the sin nature existed in everyone from Adam. And therefore, personal sins existed. Secondly, death also existed. Spiritual death and physical death. Okay, point eight. So we learn a few things. We learn a few things. A, there is personal sin without law. That's one thing we learn. There is personal sin without law. B, spiritual death without imputation of personal sins. We know that exists. We know that spiritual death exists without imputation of personal sins. Okay? Romans chapter 5. Let's just read now. And I want you to think with me. We're family. We're small. You can ask questions. See if there's any question that you have what's going on. Because we're now ready to put some things together here. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned by the imputation of Adam. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, even though sin is not imputed, nevertheless death reigned or ruled from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned, in the like manner of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. Okay. Any question? Anything not? Now let's take a look at the last phrase of verse 14. Adam, then it says, who is a type of him who is to come. That's Jesus Christ. Type, tupos, means a mark. Made by the result of a blow or a pressure. A mark, a trace, embodiment of characteristics. If I pressed it, you get the characteristics of the ring. Okay? This is the background of the word for type. It's an image, an archetype, serving as a model. Then it says, a type of who was to come. Now here we have an interesting word. Present active participle. Of melo, M-E-L-L-O, means is about to do or to suffer something. To take place at a future point of time. To be subsequent to another event. So the being of Adam and the coming of Jesus Christ are to God right here, 1-2. How many years are there between Adam and Jesus Christ? I think somewhere around 3,500 to 4,000 years. So we'll just say 3,000, 3,500, 4,000 years, whatever it is. I do not believe it's beyond 5 at all. So we'll just say 4,000 years so we can communicate. So from to man, that's a long time. Adam, Christ, 4,000 years. To God, 1-2. Adam, Christ, Adam, my son. That's what's going on here. Who's about to come. Look what it says. And a type of him who was to come, Jesus Christ. So that's how quick it is. To take the place in a future time. So the being of Adam, the coming of Jesus Christ, 1-2 punch. Man counts time, God doesn't. God doesn't count time. And I got news for you. If you were to die today and the rapture occurs next week, you won't even calculate that time. If you were to die today and the rapture doesn't occur for 1,000 years, you won't even calculate that time in heaven. Time is non-existent. I know that's difficult for us to believe, but it's non-existent. It just doesn't exist. And that's a difficult thing for us to comprehend. But it just does not exist. From the time someone dies until the rapture, until everything's done, it makes history to us, but not to anyone else. So history, from Adam and his sin and death, followed by Jesus Christ taking care of the sin problem. That's what we have. Adam, sin and death, Jesus Christ taking care of the problem. Taking care of the sin problem, bearing the judgment sins of the world, taking care of the death problem, giving of life. That's what's going on here. That's how close to God these two events are. We look at history from the age of the Gentiles, the age of the Jews, the church age, tribulation, all this thing. Got this Adam's problem, Jesus the solution. That's how quickly all of these things come. Look at your own history of your own physical life. Your physical birth, followed by spiritual birth, short time to glorify Christ, followed by entrance into the eternal kingdom. There's your life. The great issue is what you do with that short time. I have a poem that I like to read, especially if it's a young person's funeral. It's called The Dash. And it talks about how born in this day, died in this day, and the poem's about that little dash. It's what you do with the dash. You have nothing to do about either of the dates. It's that dash. It's what we do with our life, people. What you do with today, what you do with tomorrow, what you do with those that God has put into your life, and did He put them there, or did you put them there? All these kinds of things. What you're going to do with your time, your money, all this. This is the history. You desire to enjoy your life? You desire to enjoy your life? Seek those things that are above. That's how you do it. So, no questions now between 12 and 14. So, let's take a look at verse 15 and at least get something under our belt here. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many die, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. For on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. Now, two things I want you to go away with. First of all, what is the free gift spoken of? What's the free gift? Look at Romans 6. Just turn the page to Romans 6. Maybe on some Bibles you don't even have to turn the page. 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, let's go back to 15 now. But the free gift of eternal life is not like the transgression. Now let me just stop and interrupt to tell you what the difference is. People, we deserve the condemnation of death. We're directly related to Adam. I deserve being a short little guy because of the genetic makeup of my parents and grandparents. I deserve the features, all these things. I'm directly related. They're mine. I inherited them. We deserve the death of Adam. We deserve spiritual death. We deserve a sin nature. We're directly descended. We do not earn or deserve eternal life. It's not antecedently ours. It's a free gift. That's what's being said here. It's a free gift. It's not yours or mine. That you and I have eternal life, let's thank God every day. Why I look this way and different things I might have about my parents, why was I born from them? But people, when it comes to eternal life, why do I have it? I didn't. There's no reason for me having eternal life. It's not antecedently mine. Death is antecedently mine because of my relationship with Adam, but not life. So look at our passage. But the free gift, that's eternal life, is not like the transgression which I deserved. For if by the transgression of the one, Adam, many die, that's all of the human race, all the descendants of Adam, much more, much greater did the grace of God and the gift of eternal life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. For on the one hand, the judgment, arose from one transgression of Adam, resulting in condemnation, mine and yours. But on the other hand, the free gift of eternal life arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. Many transgressions, all the transgressions being imputed to Jesus Christ. So this is where we'll begin next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we just see that everything is from your grace. Every free gift is your grace. The gift of eternal life, your grace. The gift of spiritual life on earth, your grace, by giving to us your Spirit who gives us life. The benefits of life, your grace. Everything is a free gift from you that we enjoy in life spiritually. So, Father, we've learned many things this morning, but the underlying of all of these is what an awesome God you are. What a loving, merciful God to give us these things freely. We don't earn or deserve them, couldn't earn or deserve them. Don't have to earn or deserve them. Don't have to even earn or deserve to keep them. What an awesome God you are. You give us these things and we don't even have to work to keep them. It's your faithfulness. Father, we do thank you for America. We do thank you for our country. We thank you for the freedom we've known for over 200 years. We're thankful for our Christian ancestors who spread the gospel all over the world, took the gospel into languages, put it into languages, took this book, put it into languages. What a wonderful heritage. And Heavenly Father, we desire to keep up this heritage of disseminating the gospel, even if it's just one-on-one, to people that you bring into our path. Let them know about Jesus Christ. Let them know about you. Make your name known. Father, we thank you for all of these things. Pray now you'll take what we've seen this morning, your word, have it become a reality in our souls first and then in our lives. To this end we pray in Christ's name.